Now let's continue on. If you're seeking to be justified by means of law, now we could do the same thing here in the Church of God if we wanted to enact laws. Now let's understand something very important. Whenever you do that, you also enter into the danger of trying to outdo God. God's laws and commandments and his ways and his mercy and forgiveness through Christ is the way. We don't add to it. We don't take from it. But if we said, okay, now, I see you haven't been attending church for a long time. Where have you been? What have you been doing? And by the way, I have also looked at your financial record for the church. And what have you been doing with your tithes, your offerings? Tell you what you need to do. The only way you're going to get yourself squared around is, now you need to repent to God, of course, but you need to attend Sabbath services every Sabbath for a year. And you better make sure that you bring me your pay stub every week so that I know that you're tithing properly. Now, the Mormons almost do that. At the end of the year, they have a reconciliation with the bishop. Did you know that? Where they have to take in their income taxes and sit down with a conference with the bishop. And if you haven't paid the tithes that the bishop thinks you ought to pay, you pay. See? That is a work of law. You have fallen from grace, and Christ is of no benefit to you. Okay? Now, verse 5. Here's the way it should be. For we through the Spirit are waiting for the hope of the righteousness by faith, which is Christ in us, the character of God, the right standing with God by faith. Because in Christ Jesus, here's the key, neither circumcision is of any force nor uncircumcision. Rather, it is the inner working of faith through love. Now let's come to 1 Corinthians 7 and see where he expresses it just a little bit differently here. 1 Corinthians 7. Let's begin here in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. So you had the reverse of it, right? I mean, can you imagine that? Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Over here he says, circumcision is not of any force nor uncircumcision, rather it is the inner working of faith through love. That is what is the important thing. Then you will be keeping the commandments, won't you? Because it takes faith to keep the commandments in the Spirit. So that's quite a thing. Let's look at the kind of faith that we are to have. Okay? Let's come to Galatians, the second chapter. There are two kinds of faith we are to have. We'll just briefly review it. Okay? Galatians, the second chapter. Here we can turn in the study paper. Right back there to Galatians 2. Galatians 2, and let's pick it up here in verse 20. Verse 20. I've been jointly crucified with Christ, and that's through baptism. Yet I live. However, it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me. For the life that I am now living in the flesh, I live by faith, the very faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This faith is a spiritual faith, which is Christ's own faith that he imparts to you because you believe him and you love him. Now, this kind of faith, let's come to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This kind of faith is a spiritual aspect of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift. As we will see a little later on, the gift of the Spirit includes faith. See? Now, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. In the Greek, there is hypostasis, meaning it is a spiritual substance that God gives you and implants in your mind. And it stays there as you grow in faith and grow in knowledge. It will leave you if you become negligent, just like God's Spirit will leave you. See? But it's the substance of things hoped for. And this is the kind of faith that requires belief. None of us has seen Christ crucified, have we? No. Matter of fact, we're almost 2,000 years removed, aren't we? Okay. But we believe. Because God said so. That's what's important. That's the faith of Christ in us. And it is the substance of things hoped for. Now, we are hoping for eternal life, aren't we? Yes. We're not like the apostles. They were able to see Christ for 40 days, 40 nights after his resurrection. Peter, James, and John saw Christ transfigured before them on the Mount of Transfiguration. So they knew that there was going to be eternal life. Today we have their report. Today we have their writings. Today we believe, though we don't see. We hope, though we don't have it, you see. So it is the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why it's very important to know and understand that you have God's Spirit. And as we started out, if you're living in the Laodicean age, in the trough of Laodiceanism, stir it up. Now, let's come to Mark, the 10th chapter, and let's see something else that's very important here concerning that faith, showing that this is the faith of God. Now, we have to have our part. We have to have our belief. See. But then that belief and faith has to be strengthened with the power and the Spirit of God so it becomes full-fledged spiritual faith. Now, this is after the cursing of the fig tree, Mark 11, and let's begin here in verse 20. And they came by in the morning, and as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Now, the real Greek here means, have God's faith. In other words, the faith that comes from God. For verily I say to you, that Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, this would be what you would call the ultimate of belief, right? But what is harder to move than a mountain? The mountain's pretty hard to move. Try it shovel by shovel. But what is harder to move? The carnal mind. Okay. That's harder to move. Was it not almost like moving a mountain when God called Saul, knocked him off his donkey when he was on his way going to Damascus? Yes. Be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. That's why if there's something we need from God, we keep asking. It says seek, and that means keep on seeking and you will find. Ask and keep on asking and you shall receive. Now sometimes we have to be long-suffering in our asking, especially if it's depending upon another person's actions. Because God is not going to make the choice for that individual, and we can't make the choices for individuals that we are praying for. But in other things, God says he will answer. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do. Of course, that has to be according to God's will. God will do it. No doubt about it. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Don't say, when you get done praying, well, I wonder if God's going to answer the prayer. Nope. Already lost it. Condition, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. All of us want to have our sins forgiven, don't we? Yes, indeed. Well, then you're bound, duty-bound, to forgive others. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So you see, in order to have the faith of Christ, that's the first one, okay? The second one, or actually there are three kinds of faith. The second one is to believe just because God says so. If God says so, it's true. Well, let's go back to Genesis 15. And this is where you don't have any required action to do. You believe. Because God is true. God cannot lie. God is love. God will do what he says. Now, Genesis 15. And you know, when you stop and think about it, Abraham never saw any of these things completely fulfilled. He had his son Isaac, and I think that he was still alive for 2 years when Jacob was born. That was it. But notice what God promised him. Verse 5. Genesis 15. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, tell the stars if you're able to number them. He said unto him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, because God said so. And it was counted to him for righteousness. If you believe God and believe his word, you are put in right standing with him. That's what this righteousness is about. So the first faith is God's own faith in you, substance of the Holy Spirit. The second faith is to believe because God said so. No action to do. Now let's come to Genesis 22, and we will see that here is the third kind of faith, and this is the faith that requires action. Now, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I'm here. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains I will tell you of. So you know the story. Abraham rose, took two lads with him. He took Isaac, he took the wood, he took the coals and the whatever, however they carried their coals, but he took them with him. Went out 3 days, got to the place where they were supposed to be, and he told the two lads, stay back here. Isaac and I are going up on the mountain, and we're going to offer sacrifice to God. So as they're going up the mountain, and Isaac has the wood on his back, Isaac says to his father, he says, I see the coals, I see the wood. But where's the sacrifice? What did he say? Son, God will provide the sacrifice. So he got up there, made the altar of stones. He took Isaac, he bound him, laid him on the altar, and reached down to get the knife. And then, now this is the faith that affected the whole world. Right here. The angel cried at verse 11, called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God. After all those years of walking with God. So you see, growing and overcoming is really a long-term process when you understand it. Seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it is seen. Now notice the message here. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn. Now let's understand something profound here. God always tells the truth. He doesn't need to swear. In courts today, you go to court and you swear, or in our case, since we're told not to swear by Christ, we affirm. God did not need to do that. His word is sufficient. So this is a profound act that he did. I've sworn by myself, which means he's swearing by his very existence, by everything that he is, for because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. That's all the spiritual seed of Abraham. We are part of this blessing right here. Now notice this is not conditional upon what the children do. That's why when you come to the covenant with Abraham, I mean with Israel, it's a separate covenant. And he gives the commandments and the blessings and the cursings for disobedience, you see. But he will not go back on his word. Now, as far as works are concerned, did any of the children earn it? No. Because of their behavior, do they necessarily deserve it? No. But God promised it to Abraham, so it is. Because Abraham took the action that God commanded him to do. The third faith is the action that God commands you to do. See? First one is God's faith. The second one is believing because God said so. The third one is doing what God says because you believe him. And you fulfill the action that he requires. Okay? Let's finish this here. I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. That's a spiritual seed. And as the sand which is upon the seashore. That is the physical seed. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now let's go back to the account in James. James, the second chapter. And James brings out this point here concerning faith, concerning belief in God. And this is, see, why it is here with faith that works with love. Then that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in the book of Galatians, you see. Rather, the inner working of faith through love. Now, James, the second chapter. Sorry to skip around here on you. Let's come to James, the second chapter. And let's see, there are times when there is action that needs to be taken. Let's pick it up here in verse 14, James 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, you can't be saved without faith. Absolutely true. But faith without action is not faith. Notice verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and they come to you, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be warm, be filled. Notwithstanding, you give him not the things that are needful to the body. What has it profited? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now let's understand verse 19. It's no big deal to believe in God. God expects everyone to believe that there is a God. Notice this statement, verse 19. You believe there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. So in other words, if someone says, well, I believe in God, and does absolutely nothing about it, in the same category as what? As the demons. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now notice how he draws on this example of Abraham. And was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar? So you see how that faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. Now that is when there is action to be done. So if God says, remember to keep the Sabbath, because he made it holy, the faith that you exhibit in that is, you keep it. Take any of the commandments of God and apply it. Now, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So what James does here, he pulls all the way back to Genesis 15 and brings the completion of that faith forward to Genesis 22. Was perfected. And he was called the friend of God. What does Christ call you? He calls you friends. He said, I no more call you servants, I call you my friends. And a friend lays his life down for his friends. So you see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. So, this is what it means. Let's come back to the study translation in Galatians 5. This is what it means. The inner working of faith through love. Now, let's continue on. Verse 7. You were running well. Who hindered you? Persuading you not to obey the truth. This persuasion is not coming from him who calls you. In other words, it's not from Christ, but it's from men. Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A great and tremendous spiritual principle that is true in an individual life, in a group life, in a church, a whole church structure. Look at what we have seen with the Church of God. Look at the Catholic Church and all the religions of the world as they're growing to the full in Babylon the Great now. See? It started out with a little leaven, didn't it? Started out with a little change of doctrine, didn't it? And then they added the traditions of the fathers. And then they added the philosophies of the pagans and united that with so-called belief in the Bible. And now look at the whole ungodly system that is out there, see. So remember that also in your life. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now I am persuaded concerning you and the Lord that you will have no other mind, and he who is troubling you shall bear the judgment, whoever he may be. And that is true. I've seen down through the years, whenever someone starts on a false doctrine, it really, little leaven leavens the whole lump, and God judges them. Now verse 11. But I, brethren, if I am still proclaiming circumcision, which some of them said, they said, you wait. Maybe Paul hasn't told you yet, but he's going to come and tell you that you need to be circumcised. So why don't you get circumcised now so when he comes around, you can tell him you've been circumcised. Okay? He'll be happy to hear that because he's going to say that you ought to. After all, he was a Pharisee. He's out there making proselytes. He knows that the final step in being a proselyte is to be circumcised so you are a full citizen of the nation of the Jews. So, Paul says, if I'm still proclaiming circumcision, why am I yet being persecuted? Then the offense of the cross has been taken away. I would that they would even make themselves eunuchs. It says in the King James, cut themselves off. Well, if you do that, you are a eunuch. Those who are throwing you into confusion. And of course, God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:35. For you have been called unto freedom, brethren. Only do not use this freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but rather with love serve one another. And that's the whole reason why the church has been reduced down to small groups that we get the lesson to love God and love each other. That's the whole thing. For the whole law is fulfilled in this commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes that gets real hard. Well, before we get into the rest of it, let's go ahead and close up shop for this Sabbath, and we'll catch it on the next one. The Canadian office is Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2, Australia, Post Office Box 81, Sale, Victoria, 3850, New Zealand, 47 Sunview Road, Glen Eden, Auckland, Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 21279, Helder Cruen, 1733. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 39, Devon, PL 1999RL.